Hi. Thank you for asking me to do the chair. I'm incredibly nervous to be here, but grateful. And I have fear around sitting in this chair and speaking to everyone. It's quite an overwhelming meeting. But I know that I'll get calm as I start to share and I start to speak. And I also know that I'm nervous and I have fear, but it's not towards any of you, and it's not for being here. It's just because I take my recovery very seriously, and I take this very seriously, and I want to share my experience, strength, and hope that somebody will be touched and be able to relate, and, you know, I want to be able to give a clear message, so I'm just nervous. I think I've been away for a month now without any meetings, and I do that a lot because I'm actually working in the sea, and I do something that I love. So it's a wonderful reason I'm gone, but there are no meetings where I am. So it gives me a lot of time to reflect about NA. And when I do come back, and this time it was for a week, I get very attached. And I have a lot of love for these rooms, and I really love the people in these rooms. And as I sat here, I was thinking about the chair, and I was looking at everyone, and I slowly started to scan the room, and every time I looked somewhere, someone smiled at me, or someone nodded, or someone acknowledged me, and someone saw me. And I've been really thinking about that recently, because I was in Liverpool Street Station, because we were filming this busy street, and we wanted to get a crowd of people. And we were standing at the top of this balcony, looking at Liverpool Street Station, and it looked exactly like this. It was just people all facing one way, and they were all staring at a screen. But their faces weren't like the faces I'm looking at here today. Really. The faces were of people that were just machines, staring, looking, waiting for their tube to kind of, an announcement to be made. And then they all moved in like a machine way. And I was just staring at everyone. And it made me, I was really overwhelmed. And I was overwhelmed not because I have to be part of that, because I'm not part of that anymore, because I choose not to be, but because I'm invisible there. I'm not seen, and we're all invisible. There are people passing each other, just shrugging each other, and not even acknowledging to say I'm sorry. And that's the world that I was living in, a world that made me invisible. And I created that world. And that's just not the way it is here. I'm sitting watching you all staring this way, and I'm just getting smiles, I'm getting life, I'm seeing people coming up, waking up, and actually kind of living. And even if you're here for just the first day, well done for being here, because it's brave. And it's the first choice to actually saying, I'm going to live the way that I want to live. Not like a slave to an announcement or to a dealer or to a relationship or to any addiction that you pick up. Because it's not living. So, invisible. That was what my using was. It was about being invisible. I did not want to be seen. I chose opiates because I felt like I was too much. Addiction to me is not about the substances. I think it's really important for me to acknowledge, even though this is a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, that I cross-addict. And my first addiction, or the first act of addiction, I think it was stemming in me already from a very young age, was food. And from food, I developed a drug problem. From drugs, I developed a relationship problem, and it just kind of escalated. And the problem isn't relationships or drugs or food, because I don't actually have a problem with drugs. The drugs have a problem with me, because the way that I behave around things that are addictive to me is compulsive, and it's destructive, and it ruins me. But there are people out there that can actually just have one line, or can have sex once a week, or can whatever. You know, lucky them. But I'm just not like that. So I need to come to places like here and listen to people share and share my truth so that I can feel human and not a machine and not invisible and not terrified. Because when I wake up in the morning before I was in recovery, my first response was, oh fuck, like how am I going to cope today? I am terrified. And so all the things that I did were coping mechanisms. And they weren't the best, but they kept me alive. And addiction, in a way, was my survival. And it came from my upbringing and the traumatic experiences. It took me a long time to say, my name is Rebecca and I'm an addict, and really believe what that meant, to really own it. I walked into these rooms thinking, I fucked up, I deserve to be here because I'm an idiot and I took too many drugs. That's what led me to come in here. So now I've got to learn my lessons and I've got to beat it into me. And it was by being here for long enough to start understanding that actually it's not about the drugs. It's not about the behaviors that I have around addictive things. It's about what's happened to me in the past that's led me to choosing these ways of coping. And it's just because I don't know how to use the tools that I was given. And in here, I get to be parented. I get to learn all over again. I get to restart. And the best thing about this is that I get to restart every day. I can fuck up. I can relapse if I mean, at best, I don't relapse. But it's really important to know that you can start every day again in these rooms. They're forgiving. They're loving. And they're understanding. And of course, there are also assholes everywhere. So, like, there's good and bad everywhere. So, you know, be aware. And be careful with your vulnerability, you know. I know that. But it's a forgiving place, and it's a loving place, and that's not my experience of the world until I came in here. I grew up in Portugal, and all my life, it was normal to see drugs everywhere. We had 1% of the nation addicted to heroin, but nobody was explaining it to me. I just saw it, and it became actually a normal thing to see it. And so I wasn't judging it. I wasn't unaccepting of it or accepting of it. It wasn't in my circle of my life. I came from a very comfortable background. I was sent to good schools. I had high expectations in my academia. Everything was pressure, pressure, pressure. But somehow, I would look at the guy shooting up heroin on the corner of my street and feel the way he looked. And I think that is something that is really key for me today, coming into these rooms. Addiction is not exclusive. It goes for anyone. And the way that sometimes someone looks is the way that I feel, and sometimes the way that I feel is the way that you look. And it just doesn't matter. The point is, my narrative is just my narrative and it's my story. But the way that I feel is the same as anyone in this room, anyone in the world. And I just need to really tune into those feelings to be really aware of what's going on for me. And I just didn't know how to do that. So I spent most of my childhood feeling really separate from everyone and trying to relate. But I was loud, I was eccentric, I was I struggled to sit still at class, I was the clown of the class, I was just always looking for attention. And I was just being contained constantly, less Becca, stop it, no, be this, be more that, be this. And pressure, 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 and I can't handle it. And as I got older, the pressure was like, control, control, control. And as the control got taken away from me, I turned to, well, I'll decide what I'm going to eat. I'll decide when I want to eat. I'll decide if I don't want to eat. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And actually, with anorexia, unfortunately, society encourages it. You look great. You've lost weight. Wow, you're amazing. And so all of a sudden, it's just fed into me like, fuck, I'm doing all this destructive shit and everyone's telling me, well done. So I just kept going. That's the way the world works for me in my experience. And then, you know, people were taking drugs, and honestly, my first experience with drugs was, I'm scared, but I was talking to some friends about this, and how often, and I don't know how many of you ever actually, honestly, in that moment where you first took your drug, I mean, I knew I was scared, but I wasn't going to say it. I just did it, because everyone else was doing it. But initially, I was scared, but then obviously, it changed the way that I felt, and it numbed me, because all my feelings were just too much. I was too much. And being badly behaved and being naughty in Portugal, I got sent to England when I was 15 to a naughty school. Now, I was smoking weed and taking mushrooms sporadically, and I was disruptive in class. But when I got to England, naughty was a whole other level. Like, you guys really know how the binge culture is just, like, off the hook. So I got here, and, you know, the guys in my house were, like, smoking, shooting up. Everything was just mad, 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 and I wanted to be part of it. So I did, and so from a very young age, I fell in love with heroin, and it became my safety blanket. It became everything that I needed when I wanted to check out. And it stayed in my life until I was 27. And when I was 27, it wasn't a massive crisis that led me into the rooms. I've had crisis in my life, and as I deal well with crisis, actually. Big crises, I'm there. I can handle it. It's the little things that I just go, oh, no, I'm fine, I can deal with that, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I keep putting it behind me. And then all of a sudden, I have a pile of mini crises, and I don't know what to do with them. Thank you. And it was being rejected by people, being abandoned, having those backs turned away, having these invisible faces saying they don't want to be part of my life anymore. And that, to me, was enough to bring me here, because I was alone. And I walked in here desperate. I was lonely, nobody was seeing me, nobody wanted to see me, and I'd lost my job. And so I just felt completely alone in the world. I felt like another person sitting in that tube, staring at a wall, waiting for an announcement, or waiting to be told what to do. And I don't want to be like that. And when I came in here, I felt welcomed, I felt warmth, and I genuinely felt loved. Genuine. And I stayed. I didn't pick up, and I kept coming. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. I got another sponsor. Starting working the steps again. I got another sponsor. I'm indecisive. Every woman here is my mother. I don't want my mother. And then I want my mother. And then I want my mother. And then I don't. And then that she could be a better mother. And like everyone is my dad. Everyone's my brother. Everyone's my boyfriend. The whole world. It's fucking mad. But, you know, it's kind of cool as well. Because I get to be really honest with everyone in here. I own my shit in here and nobody's judging me. Or if they are, they're also judging everyone else. And we end up saying it at one point. At one point I'll go, oh, by the way, I judged you yesterday. Okay, cool, I judged you last night. Amazing. It's so honest here. I need that. I need to be able to just bring my too much, Becca, and be able to kind of just walk into this room and feel like people are not going to turn their backs. They're going to acknowledge me. I am seen in here, and I need to be seen, and I need to see you. And if you're new in here, you are seen, and you are loved, and you are cared for, and trust this program, and trust us. I really, really have a lot of love for this place, and I'm attached to NA. NA is my family. And I can get really emotional about this because I take it really seriously. This saved my life. This gave me my life. And I'm leaving on tomorrow. And I'm really, really struggling with the idea of leaving because I'm doing everything I love thanks to this program. But I miss it when I'm not here. And I also feel like I'm letting people down because I want to sponsor people. I want to be a sponsor. I want to be part of this program 100%. And I'm not entirely at the moment. And I need to own that because I'm doing other things. But those other things are down to being here, and I know that. So please, I hope I'm not like imposing my views on you. I'm just very passionate about this. I'm very passionate about my life. I'm passionate about all of you, and I really have faith in this, and I have faith in all of you. So keep coming back, and thank you for letting me share.